Hi, everybody. It's Stephen St. Clair with my lovely co-host, Sadie K. Frazier.
Hi.
Well, as promised, I'm back maybe a day or so late, but I'm back. And I have Sadie in tow. So it's been a little bit, but we're going to finish. Well, actually, I wouldn't say finish. I wish we were that far. We're going to continue talking about the apology languages. But first, I want to talk to Sadie and just catch up.
You want to catch up?
I want to catch up.
Like you don't know what's already going on with me?
No.
They don't know what's going on
with me. Are you back into doing your podcast?
Yep.
How many
have you? I'm doing a 26-part series and unraveling the layers of trauma to heal. Basically, like going from A to Z and working with each letter of the alphabet. And then I come up with reconnecting with your childhood, unraveling the layers of trauma, and then finding your purpose in transforming and healing. So.
And what's the name of your podcast?
It is the In Pursuit of Purpose podcast. I almost said the Daily Escape podcast.
I was going to say,
to be the Daily Escape podcast, but my business name, everything I do is under In Pursuit of Purpose, so I just went ahead and it's just cohesive now with all of that, so.
Awesome. And you're still writing, I'm assuming?
I am.
All right.
I'm writing a
Me too.
Fun, cozy mystery right
it's
now.
It's good to have fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun, but not really, apologizing isn't meant to be fun. It's meant to be honest and sincere. And I want to talk about where. So last time we did this, it's probably, I wish it wasn't as long as it was, but 2 months, I would think. We left off in needing to do chapter 3. So, and for anybody that doesn't know, this is a husband and wife take on apology languages. There's some personal experiences thrown in and some love languages thrown in, which I think comes up in chapters 4 and 5, which we're going to do 3 chapters tonight. And then if I can twist Sadie's little piggy toe, maybe she'll come back if I play nice and we'll do like 6, 7, and 8 or something like that.
Sweet.
So chapter 3 in the book talks about apologizing without justification. And what that means is, let's say I had a friend that wanted to go out to the movies, and I went out with a friend, and which, by the way, I don't have very many friends, so this would be an imaginary friend. Imaginary friend, you're getting thrown under the bus. We went out, and friend wanted to, he bought a brand new car and he wanted to show me how fast his car could go. We're at a stoplight and he revs his engine. And next thing you know, we're both racing to the next stoplight. Well, the cop pulls us both over and the cop says, "Why were you speeding?" Well, then I can immediately justify my speeding because I was racing my friend. That's justified.
Because your friend was doing it. So.
That's right. And what actually the conversation should be was, "Officer, I made the decision to race against my friend who had a brand new car. I knew it was wrong. Give me the ticket." So I basically unjustified, in a roundabout way, I justified my wrong actions, but what you don't want to do is, "Well, he was doing it, so I did it too." That sounded about right.
Mm-hmm.
Probably every child ever in human history has tried to justify why they did something, either based on trying to make it like, "Well, this is why I did it." But what you don't want to do is, "Well, little Susie took a cookie too, so I took 2 cookies. The best thing to do, really, in any relationship, I would say, is, and I'll throw myself under the bus.
I was just going to ask you if I can throw myself under the bus.
Well,
so
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh. Okay.
You want me to throw myself under the bus first?
I'll go first and then you can go. So, and this, is it okay if I recap a little bit from this weekend? Not
We're
much.
We're probably going to say the same thing because that's where I was headed with that too.
Well, one of the things about couples that have been together for a while, my wife and I are each on different, obviously we do different jobs, careers, and we're at different stages of the careers. Like years ago, it was just, before my current job, it was just show up, do my job, go home. I had a warehouse job. All I wanted to do was just do my job, come home, because I had to support a family. Now, I like my job for the most part, and I have responsibilities. And sometimes those responsibilities take a little bit more of the pie than they should. Probably same with your job, I would say. But a lot of times, I don't monitor how much of my pie is taken, and I just, fine, have it. I give, and long the short, I don't always give my wife the time and attention she deserves and or needs, and then our relationship suffers. And within that, there's a whole myriad of things that suffer. And so Saturday when we were just trying to enjoy our weekend, and it came up in conversation about things, and I finally realized, you know, she's right. I had to, it's hard in that moment to think, to come up with a reason why, an honest reason why, when really you don't need to go to great lengths to justify. Just say you're right. I'm sorry. And in the process of, now here's the thing, love language, I'll flip on love language a little bit. One of my love languages, I'm just going to say it. You can probably correct me if I'm wrong. My love language is touch. And I have in times past, when my wife and I have kind of been tossing it back and forth a little bit, I know the things I'm supposed to be doing. It's not ever been just a, you did this to hurt me, you're right, I'm sorry, all better. That's not ever the case. It's, you should always reinforce the apology or the, excuse me, the act of forgiveness with, you need to seal the deal, basically. I know that my wife is a very soft, tender, gentle-hearted person, and to simply say, hey, I'm sorry, in hopes that she would forgive me, I need to follow up with, I pull her into me. She needs to feel that embrace, feel that emotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I talked about that in one of the previous chapters. One of the ways that the other person can feel your apology coming through is the way you hug them. Now, Sadie has many times accused me of little pecks or kisses, and I do that. I don't have an explanation for that. I don't have a reason other than the need to do better. So when I apologize to Sadie or ask forgiveness, in order to make that a sincere, heartfelt apology, there has to be, you can't just say, I'm sorry. You got to pull that person in and give them the due attention that they need, and but then follow up with, look, I'm sorry, I will try to do better next time, or I promise I won't race my imaginary friend on Broadway, and there better not be, in parentheses, I'll just do it up Madison Avenue instead. Excuse me. The other person just, they need to know that you acknowledge what you did wrong, why you did it, and that you're going to do better next time and not do the same stupid thing you did before. And with our thing on Saturday, there wasn't anything leading up to it. It was just, I think one of those days where we just, I think the weeks had been caught up to us.
Mm-hmm.
You've been feeling some, doing some, putting up with some stuff at work. I have been busy at work, which in all actuality sounds like I'm justifying it, but I'm really presenting the evidence of what we each had been through. And it just kind of like, in a roundabout way, it was like, you're missing something, I'm missing something, I don't like how this is making our relationship feel, we need to figure this out. And I had to stop and think for a minute. I'm like, oh, man. And then I realized, I'm like, yes, you're right. I have unconsciously withheld my full amount of attention for you. And so it was a good reality check. And I think, honestly, would you agree that couples need frequent reality checks sometimes, or pit stops? What do we call ours?
I don't remember. We've even done
checkups.
We've even done it with the kids, though. We've done it when the kids were little. We would stop and have family meetings like that and say, okay, this whole family needs a checkup right now.
Did it usually lead to black ops afterwards?
Probably. Long lectures by dad. That's and
right.
Then
long stares. And I think the kids afterwards said, Dad, I'd rather have you spanked me.
I still think it was good for him, though, in the long run.
Yeah,
but
it's... Go ahead, your turn.
Well, before we get too far on that part, like our whole conversation, though, I'm going to throw myself under the bus, because what was the first thing that I did when we started talking? I didn't just say, these are the things I'm missing from you, and I want us to be closer. I did the whole backwards justification thing and said, because you're not giving me this, this, and this, that's why I've pulled away and I haven't been doing this, this, and this. So instead of just saying, communicating and saying what I needed, I actually backwards blamed you for, you did these things, so this is why I did this.
Yeah, you did an opposite of a backhanded compliment. You
But it's this. But it's what you're talking about, though. That's not a true. I mean, I wasn't apologizing anyway. I was bringing the facts, but in some ways, I didn't give you the chance to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I said that puts you in defensive mode.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and normally, there is a bit of a heads up when a storm is coming.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of those times too when, like, it wasn't a big dam that burst; it was just kind of a little dam, and
sometimes those are the most detrimental, though, when it's just a slow leak. And
it is, and we needed. I think I stopped. We were getting ready to make dinner, and I'm like, okay, let's stop. I think I put the lid back on the butter and I closed the sauerkraut flap on the can and stuff. And so couples often need those moments in the relationship, no matter the age, whether you're a young couple or an old couple. You got to have those fine-tuned moments, and you want the relationship to grow old with grace, humbleness, but you want to still maintain that youthful spirit also. And I think that's part of the problem with a lot of today's society and couples, is that they get so focused on their career-driven goals, or just caught up in, you know, it, whatever you got going on, and sometimes you forget the other person might be tagging along and you're causing them to run out of gas. You know, so you got to stop for a minute and really, whether you just got to do some preventive measures. And at some point even too, it could be health detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in your case, or mine, you know, I'm going on my third year of my job working almost 50 hours a week. And luckily, my job doesn't call for more than that, unless I just happen to do other stuff outside of that to catch up. But unless the relationship takes time to breathe and heal and come back together and, I don't know, slow dance in the kitchen or go for, like I told Sadie over the weekend, I said, I cannot wait until it gets nice enough spring where we can just go for our first long country drive of the year, because at that point you and I do a couple of things. We grab snacks,
mm-hmm.
We roll down the windows, and or we put on some tunes. And it's at that point when it's like you release the old crummy energy and you breathe in the new air, springtime air. I think we do that. Actually, we have a hard time staying put once it starts getting nice out, but There are some things we got to do to maintain this year. So, justification in apologizing. It's one thing to blame other people, when really, if you're the one that's doing the wrong deed, just try not to dig yourself a hole and jump in after it. It's very hard, I think, to circle back once you've opened your mouth one too many times, trying to just say, admit the wrongdoing, apologize to the other person, put a corrective action in place. And I think that's one of the steps to apologizing correctly is, this is what I'm going to do to make sure I don't do that again. Or I'm going to set my watch so that I know what time I'm supposed to be home. You know, it's stuff like that. And a lot of it has to do with consideration for the other person's feelings. Like, I'm gone almost every night until 5, 5.15, 5.30, on rare occasions, a little bit later than that. And I almost always text Sadie and said, I'm done, I'm on my way home. Because that whole time what she's doing is she's winding down herself from the day, but she's also either maybe putting groceries away and or making dinner or washing dishes, chores that I'm not there to help with. So if I don't let her know ahead of time, hey, I'm coming home finally, be there in a minute. She could be rushing around, or really, if I know ahead of time I'm going to be late, I could say, hey, I'm still here. Then she can slow down a little bit, and it all boils down to, I think, consideration. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't mm-hmm. you agree? It's loving that other person enough to just be kind to them, be considerate of what maybe they've gone through, and make everything okay. So that was in a nutshell, chapter 3. Chapter 4 is, now that you've done the deed, the wrong deed, you've apologized, what do you need to do to make things right?
Is this a good place to bring in the quizzes?
Yeah, it might be.
Okay. So when we were talking about this today and doing the podcast, I just happened to Google a little bit more about apology language, but I found a little quiz that we could take. I don't even remember how many questions there was.
25.
Yeah. So if you guys want to take it, just Google apology language quiz, and it's by, let me look on the back of it because I can't remember who. I think it just says Love Languages. Yeah. It's made by Love Language Brand. So anyway, I learned that we have two different apology languages, and I've never looked at it that way as far as like what we need from each other for those types of apologies.
Now, would you say, based on the website's sample apologies, it's not necessarily, I wouldn't say that's 100% accurate based on, because that's more of just a generalized.
It was one of those quizzes that kept asking the same questions.
It was.
And they almost switched them around.
And I actually noticed, I was like, hey, you just asked me that.
Yeah, but they would, rephrase it, so.
And one of the things I didn't like, and I got what they were trying to say, the points they were trying to bring up, but what I noticed is the language that's used in the answers was a little bit more, over the top, so to speak. And it was like, you're trying to speak very proper, and I'm like, I don't speak like that. And it kind of almost skewed the answer a little bit because I wouldn't speak like that. I tend to be, or I try to be direct, not tell a story in my apology. And I think, okay, maybe I do sometimes. Maybe in the explanation
of
the wrongdoing.
Wrong.
But, you know what I mean, though?
Everyone that knows you knows that answer is wrong.
Yeah, but I don't, what I'm trying to say is some of those questions were a little bit lengthy, and it's like, I shall not commit that act of wrong. And it's like, no one speaks like that. At least not in my circles. And I don't have a very big circle. So what was your results? Or do you want to throw me under the bus first?
My top one was plan change. So yours was make restitution, which was way down on the list for me. So plan change was the majority of mine. So mine was more, plan change is a convincing factor in an apology. Some mates will doubt the sincerity of an apology if it's not accompanied by their partner's desire to modify their behavior to avoid the situation, which is exactly what you said earlier. I don't want to just hear, I was married to somebody for 9 years that finally got I should probably apologize or she's not going to stop. I'm sorry. That's not a sincere apology.
No.
That's not a... And then I would say, what are you sorry for? I don't know. You told me that I should be sorry. That's not an apology. There, what are you going to do to change your behavior? Was I supposed to change my behavior? I didn't know I did anything wrong. You're just mad. That's not an apology. That's a cycle of just saying what the other person wants to hear, which you've never done to me. The only time, I'm going to throw you under the bus again. The only time is that you have two forms of apology. 99.9% of the time, you are a truly apologetic person, and we'll eventually get there. You know what I mean? Like if we're spatting, maybe not like immediate, if you're not in a very good mood, but you're always going to come around and try to make things right because you want our relationship to get better.
Right.
But the second part of that 0.5% is your 10 p.m. Oh, and after yeah. apologies. Do not try to have a conversation after 10:30 and expect an apology. Because we've blown up before with that. So pick and choose when you're going to talk about things. And when don't, like you've said to me, if you've been upset with me all night long, tell me when you're upset with me. Don't wait till 10 o'clock and then say, and a lot of that I didn't, but you would ask how I, like, is something wrong?
Yeah. I think you and I have a tendency to stew over things. But not only that, but we read each other. And I used to read you. I tried to read you, and some of the times I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you really just weren't feeling good. You have fibro, and a lot of it's posture reading. Like, I would look at you from behind. I'm like, yes, I was wrong. When really, it's just like, no, my back's killing me, or, you know, my feet. Or the flip side of that is, I can tell when I look in your face sometimes, I'm like, okay, something's wrong. What do I need to do to fix this? So, guys, gals, learn to talk to each other from the get-go. Don't take years to figure out how to make things right. Because guess what? The end result is if you can't figure out how to talk to each other, your relationship's going to suffer. And if you have children or whatever, they're going to suffer. Figure your stuff out ahead of time. Learn how to talk early. And that's what dating's for. Figure out all the messy stuff first. And then when you get married, put into practice everything you learned when you were dating, and then some, and then make it work.
True. The rest of that plan change, the aspects of plan change, is verbalizing the desire to change, just like you said before. So the main thing that they listed here was that your mate can't read your mind. So maybe one of you says, okay, I'm sorry, and that's all you say. That person that needs the plan change, they need you to go beyond that and say maybe why you're sorry, or like you said, how do you want to improve your relationship? What are you going to do differently next time to not continue that? But they can't read your mind. So you might have the thoughts playing in your mind, hey, next time I'm going to do better. But if you don't tell the other person that, they don't always know that you have a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's not a plan there. It just looks like you're saying, okay, I'm sorry, and then moving on.
And one of those answers from the quiz, it I don't remember exactly how it was worded. I wish I'd have written it down. It basically was, hey, I know that I hurt you. Can you help teach me how I'm supposed to do things better?
And
I'm
thinking,
it was something dumb like that. And I'm thinking, no, dummy. You know what you did wrong. You figured it out. And here's the thing. Google it.
Yeah.
But even
and that, from a woman's perspective, when I read those questions that way, I'm like, no. Just like I said this weekend when we were talking about it, I want you to be sorry because you're sorry. I don't want you to be sorry because I said you should be sorry. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Women don't want an apology just to get it over with. I want you to truly be sorry that you hurt my feelings, or at least acknowledge I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but I can see that because you'll say that to me, that was not my intention. I misread things, and you'll say that was not my intention. Yeah. I didn't mean to hurt you, but I can see from your point of view how you would have taken that or why you would have been hurt. And that says a whole lot.
Do you remember years ago? So we did the hot air balloon Friday night, and then Saturday we went back because they were doing the target thing. Mm-hmm. And you had said something, and I don't know if I just wasn't feeling good, but you said something, and I think we just spiraled from there. And I had to think out after you and I had blown up and then come back together and glued each other's pieces back on. I had to tell myself, she loves you enough, you should know better than to think that she would talk to you that way. And I think I came back and told you that. I was like, I think I went back for a second round of apologies, or actually by then it's probably like the 10th round. But I think I had to confess to you, in my own head, I knew what you had said to me. You weren't meaning it to be hurtful. But at the time, I was just caught up in whatever I was putting my own self through, and I screwed up. So when you and I, when we fixed things, it was just one of those, I think sometimes there's an inside your head interpretation, and then there's what's outside. And a lot of times we lose that interpretation device. It's like, I'm looking at you and your face doesn't match with what you're saying, so something must not be right. And so I blew things out of proportion. And I'm like, man, that sucked. What did I do that for? So.
For your quiz results, yours were make restitution. So from their perspective, it says many people believe that wrong acts demand justice. So the one who commits the crime should have to pay for their wrongdoing. So you will make people pay for their wrongdoing. This says a mate who speaks this love language feels the same way towards apologies. In order for that person to be sincere, they don't want to hear that you're sorry. They basically want you to justify your actions and continuously prove it to them until such time as they decide that that's enough. So it says you have to be, you know, like if you buy them flowers, or you're basically constantly having to give them affirmation or buy them gifts or physical touch until they decide that no matter how long you say you're sorry or you were wrong, your mate will never find this apology sincere. You have to show something to them before they accept that. So,
did that print by chance in a way that showed all the percentages?
No, just a few of them. Like yours showed four and mine only showed three. See, so.
And actually when I was on the webpage, if you scroll down, it listed a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Like it went all the way down to like 1% and 3%.
I just thought it was funny that like my top one is plan change and your plan change is towards the bottom. So that's not something that I've ever thought about as far as apologizing.
Yeah.
You say you're sorry, and even though we're both genuine, we might misread the apology even because it's not your apology language. So you're not, does that make sense?
Yeah. I think love should have, let me rephrase that, common ground. Now, each person in that relationship has going to have spent a lifetime up until that point learning how to apologize from everyone else they've ever seen in their life, especially their parents and how they're raised. Now, my house, my dad was always right. Everybody else is wrong. So everybody else was always apologizing for stuff that they did wrong. Now, if my dad was ever wrong, get out of the way, stuff goes flying. And
he would have never accepted responsibility. No.
And that's how you learn. But I knew early on, I did not want to be like that. And so I tried to, at a young age, be a different person. But at that same time, I still have made mistakes along the way. And I think even early on in our relationship, 20 plus years ago, you were coming out of a relationship when I was coming into it. I think the sins of the other, so to speak, were transposed to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of time making up for something I didn't really do. But there were things that triggered that response within you.
Yeah, and even if you were genuinely apologizing to me, I had heard that for so many years that was insincere that I didn't necessarily believe you. So there wasn't an automatic, okay, things are fine now. It took me a while to come out of that. Or I would shut down and not want to talk about things because what good would it do? And whereas you were a completely different person willing to talk to me, and take the next steps.
What's weird in a relationship is when both people are talkers.
Yeah.
So when one person or the other in the relationship or the argument or the wrongdoing, this is at some point probably when, you know, you're on the downhill slope. At some point in that traversement, love languages come into play. And depending on what your love language is, like I said earlier, mine, I'm a little bit stronger in the touch part. Sadie happens to be the kind of girl that doesn't like necessary flowers. She doesn't not like them. It's just she'd rather save the money and do something with the money other than flowers.
Receiving gifts is not my love language. Quality time is number one. Now, the caveat to the gifts thing, if you want... So I still want the quality time. You can spend money on me, but only if we're spending it together. You know what I mean? Like,
you want it in an unselfish way.
Yeah, my quality time are the kinds that we spend on our birthdays where we go out and we shop together and we each get stuff. And we go to bookstores, we hit coffee shops. My love language is coffee. My love language is food. So when you cook for me, when you spend time with me at the same time, those are my love languages. I would say words of affirmation are also mine.
Mm-hmm.
I would like the, let me know how I'm doing, let me know that you still love me, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Love letters, like you used to send me love letters, or we would leave notes. Yeah, we'd leave notes for each other.
Because I think that love languages, it's kind of a circle journey. Love languages often circle along with the physical, the spoken word also, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
Showing somebody you love them after an argument is one thing, but speaking the apology into fruition is also another. Now, that's just a general thought. Everybody's going to have their own way of making things work. In the end, really all that matters is that A, you come back together, and two, there's still not resentment. Because if there's some things lingering in the wings, so to speak, they're going to come back later. They're going to resurface, and you're going to have to deal with things probably several times over, because by then, you've left them on the back burner. They're still burning, and at some point, they're going to bubble over into another pot of fuel, i.e. argument.
And the worst follow-up...
You remember that time? And
the worst follow-up to that is just a quick hurry-up. I'm sorry. Or can we be okay now? Those have caused major fights between us.
The answer is no, we're not okay. Do it right. Yeah. And by no means, Sadie and I have been married for 25 years in October. I have learned a lot in 25 years. And really, when you come from like my background, I had not been married.
Mm-mm.
I had dated a little bit. None of my relationships lasted very long. Sadie's, like she said, she lasted 9 years. So, coming from each of us coming to the marriage table, we had different types and sizes of baggages that we had to unpack. And I think even today, we're still unpacking stuff a little bit. Not as much as we did 25 years ago, but we're learning how to talk, learning how to love each other, and it matters.
Midlife sends a whole different set of rules, I feel like, too. Yeah. You wake up as different people, somewhat. You're not quite at that age yet, but I am, and I know I feel like I'm a different person. So you've had to navigate that and figure out how to deal with me in a whole different way.
That works for me, too, though.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, as far as, like, super change of life type stuff too. Yeah. But
it is very much, it's exactly what you're saying. There's also a physiological side to things where let me get back to what I was saying about that next day after air ballooning. So much of how you are feeling could also impact an argument, because things within you could not be right. Like when I've been sick before, I keep everybody arm's length, just get out of my way, let me do it myself. When I've been sick before, I almost refused other people's acts of love. Now, since then, I've learned to let Sadie help me, because by doing, and that brings up me doing the dishes part. We had that conversation too. It's like, if you don't let me do dishes, you're preventing me from my love language. And you're like, well, by all means, just do the dishes then. But what I was getting back to the physiological part too. Everybody grows, changes, yada, yada, yada. But behind those physical growths, there's also the inside, like hormonal levels, stress levels change, all kinds of things. It's like going in reverse puberty. Almost. Mm-hmm. There comes a point when your body has evolutionized as much as possible in its human growth, and it starts to go down the downward spiral, and you get the opposite hormonal effect.
And sometimes, to be honest, at that changeover junction, whatever you want to call it, it sucks trying to figure things out. Especially when you don't even know what's going on with the other person or yourself. So.
And that's where I think the other person needs to stop and, like, if they've never exhibited that particular trait, you really don't have anything to go off of, because you're like, did they really just say what I think they said? Ask for clarification. Doesn't matter if you're in the heat of the moment, say, hey, maybe I'm misunderstanding you. What did you mean by that? Figure it out. Don't, as I tell work people, don't struggle. Ask for help. You'll get through things a lot easier if you're not struggling. Now, from struggle comes growth, though, so it's kind of a catch-22. You'll learn more when you do struggle, but more like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. You learn what not to do, which is okay, but, excuse me, on the flip side, it's just easier if you grow together and you do the best thing you can to love each other. Lots of love languages. And that also is an argument, is a perfect way to learn a little bit about the other person. Especially when you're making up, you find out what their love language is in that moment. You know, does that make sense? Am I saying that right, mm-hmm. Sadie? Because I'm a toucher anyways, and I'm not always as good as I should be. But I want to be better than I could be. That's deeper than what I meant. But anyways, chapter 4, my and Sadie's interpretation of trying to make things right is exactly that. When you're trying to make things right, what does that mean? What are you doing to make this restitution count so that the end result is you two, or whomever you hurt, or vice versa, how do you recover from that injury, emotional or otherwise? And that's it in a nutshell. You know, you do the best you can with what you got to make that other person know that you really are sincerely sorry for the hurt that you just caused them. And sometimes it takes a while. There has to be a moment of growth. Now, if you're dumb enough to keep making the same mistakes, you're going to need a little bit more better action plan than just, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Well, then 2 weeks later, you do it again. Keep trying. Chapter 5 is preventative measures. This has a lot to do with show, don't tell, which is very much a direct tie-in with whatever your love language is, I would say. And therein is what is called action steps. This should be part of that restitution. You know, it's like I'll get back to saying, when I was mentioning about coming home late from work. If I'm late, I need to love Sadie enough to say, hey, I'm running late, I'm sorry. Now, there's a difference, though. If I'm purposely late, to be late, there's going to be a whole lot of hell to catch for that. Because after a while, Sadie's going to be like, all right, look, once, maybe twice, every once in a while is one thing, but you're late all the time. What do you got going on that's making you that late? Now, if I'm not even making an attempt to wrap things up at work, and I'm just like, oh, whatever, I'll just, you know, get home whenever I want, I'm in essence digging myself a hole, and I'm throwing the dirt back on my own self. And that's definitely something that I could do better, I would think, if I were doing that a lot. But restitution often requires being humble, not, as you said, are we better now? Are we okay? That's not the best way to do that. In apologizing to someone, or even as biblical wording would go, when you seek forgiveness, you have to be coming from a position of humbleness. Otherwise, there's no humbleness. Humbleness is often has some best friends called humility or thereabouts. And hence the, I was going to say the Jesus washing of the feet parable.
Mm-hmm.
In order for Jesus to level the playing field, he washed the feet of his disciples and basically said, I am no better than you, despite whom you think I am. But let me humble myself. Let me lower myself a stature so that I may wash the dirt from your feet so that you may for once be of a higher position. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And when a person is knocked down a peg or two or knocks himself down a peg or two after they've realized, man, I screwed that all sideways. When you apologize, being humble, honestly, is the most important thing you can do, because if you just go in guns blazing, telling somebody you're sorry, man, I didn't, it doesn't really show much. It just shows, yeah, you acknowledge what you did, but so what? Often a complete or more of a complete restitution, apology or forgiveness, what have you, means you put your heart in front of your chest and you use your heart to steer the ship, the bow of the ship, especially if you can empathize, you can see the other person, how bad you hurt them. And as I've often had to do with Sadie, I have to stop for a minute, because Sadie's a very deep person, and it's not often been easy to make amends, because the impact of that hurt was done in such a way that it was like, I really had to lift you up, hold you tight. You know what I mean? I had to reinforce change. And it's...
You also might be dealing with... I'm going to use myself as the example, but it happens all the time. If you have previous trauma that's happened that's unhealed too, you're reacting to that trauma. So you're not just working your way through your mistake. You're working through all the mistakes that have gone before you in order to get to that. Because you might have done this one minor thing to me, but in my head it's major because of this, X, Y, and Z from my past. So sincerity goes a long way for somebody who's been through traumatic things too, to know that you mean what you're saying and that you're not just adding on to the layers of trauma, you know?
Yeah, and without making it a show, when and this is part of the restitution process, you don't want to just meet the end goal, which is, you know, okay, things are okay now. No, I feel, and this is part of my notes I'm reading, you want to go beyond the okay, I forgive you part. You want to circle back around, and you want to, however you can, reassure that person, hey, I know I hurt you, and I know we're on the mend, but I want to let you know that I really love you, and I'm sorry for what I did. Now, forgiveness is also a two-way street, and when there are two people that really love each other, true forgiveness of the other person has to come from a place of love, I would think. But when in your case, like with your ex, your relationship had a lot of issues from the get-go.
Yeah.
He didn't have the good examples at all. And honestly, I don't think there was... He didn't have emotional growth to back up the marital vows or the I love you part. It was, hey, we're going to get married and I'm going to work. You're going to stay home and you're going to do everything that I tell you to do. Because that's what a wife's role is.
And to speak to that point and proof, ending a marriage after 9 years and you're gone and a phone call is made to say, you had every opportunity to say, I'm sorry. These are the things that I know that I need to work on. I'm sorry for hurting you. I understand why you're leaving. The only reaction I got in response was, but I took you garage sailing last weekend. And that's when I knew that I had made the right decision.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know.
And that's another thing, too. Relationships are a lot like dating or marital, what have you. They're a lot like any food or beverage you can equate it to, but because I like a particular brand of alcohol, not brand, whatever, scotch. Scotch has a very differentiating flavor profile, and relationships are a lot like that flavor profile. You could be subtle, you could be spicy, you could be caramelized, you could be fruity, smoky. All of those things are what makes up the individual. But unless you're raised in a particular way that helps you in your next relationship, you're going to be doing yourself and your partner disservice because you're not giving your partner the best version of you based on how you were raised. And I'll circle back for a minute. My parents, I love them both, but I would say they did not have the strongest of relationship. It was very one-sided. Do as I say, not as I do. Does that sound about right? You know my parents. My mom's the only surviving person in that relationship. But as a kid, I knew early on, I did not want to have that kind of relationship. But then the next question was, well, how do I make it better? Well, you got to grow. You got to experience different things, knowing that the other person may be bringing different things to the table. So you have to, there has to be a little bit of a leveling out the playing field. You have to grow with each other, make a few mistakes, because by making those mistakes, you learn, hopefully, what not to do next time. But then also, you learn what your love languages are, what the other love languages of the other person is, and you just, you make it work. And one of the things I learned years ago was by a personal parable of my own. So hurting someone is often like driving nails into a board. Whenever you make a mistake, you're driving the proverbial nail into that board, and it hurts until, yes, you may be allowed to remove that nail, but you're still leaving a wound or a scar behind. So when you're continually making the same mistakes, you're in essence ripping off the scab and causing another one to form. So if you're able to do so, make appropriate restitution, put on that good heart salve, make things better, and quit making those mistakes. And I learned that a long time ago, that analogy of hurting someone by, you know, driving nails into a board. So you always want to replace that hole that you created with love, and in hopes of filling said wound hole with love, you're actually building up your relationship better than ever. Fair enough?
True.
as I said before, I think roundabout way, forgiveness is really a two-way street. It's through that process of preventative measures that it becomes equally important for the other to show compassion. True forgiveness isn't meant to be a quick conversation, but the involvement of love languages on both sides. Now, what I mean by that is that, let's say, I'm going to flip it. Instead of throwing myself under the bus, I'm going to throw Sadie under the bus. Short bus. Little tiny tires so they don't hurt much. Let's say that Sadie does something and it bothers me. It hurts me enough that she notices. And either I confront her or she knows that she did it wrong and heads me off to the past before I have a chance to say anything. She has the perfect opportunity to put forth her love languages. And now I could be one of two types of people. I could be a jerk and say, no, I don't forgive you. Or I could say, yes, I forgive you. I'm sorry if I caused any actions also. But in the end result, when as long as the two parties meet up face to face and there's humbleness, forgiveness, love put in place, and they both walk away, hopefully hand in hand, and or just a remediation of sorts that makes things better, I would say, right?
Yeah. Because
it's, you don't want to walk away from that situation like, yes, I forgive that person, but you never put the buts, ands, or ors in a forgiveness, because then you're laying conditions down. Either forgive that person wholeheartedly or get out. Cut bait or fish. But you know, is that fair to say? Mm-hmm. Because you're not helping anybody.
Either one by of you.
Conditionalizing the forgiveness or the acceptance of, if you love the person, love them all the way. But you have to also realize in a relationship, there is no perfect relationship. There's going to be variations of awesomeness, I guess you could say. But there is no such thing as a perfect, true perfect person, because then that means nobody ever makes mistakes. And that would be, you're never going to know the ups and downs of a relationship. You're never going to know what it's like to fight for what you truly love. And that should be the other person. But at the same time, you're also fighting for yourself, because like, dang, I messed up. You know, and you got to figure stuff out. It's hard. It's even harder when you have, you know, a relationship that's failing and you don't know how to fix it. But if the two of you aren't coming back together to make things right, you're going to always be at that same spot. What do you think, Sadie?
I agree.
Any other comments? We've done reached the end of three chapters.
True.
In 50 some odd minutes.
No, I like doing that quiz though, because it's helpful to know.
Yeah.
The differences.
Kind of like
how love languages affect that too, because it's not something you stop and think about. Before you started doing the series on apology language, I never knew that those were even connected.
Yeah.
You just grow up learning how to apologize from the example that was given to you, and maybe either do things different or do things exactly the same. But I don't think I had ever stopped to think about how your love language affects how you need an apology from me.
Yeah.
So, and it might feel insincere from that other person too, if that's not their love language, that's not their natural way to apologize, but you need to think about the other person and how they are accepting that apology as well.
It's definitely a period of growth. I mean,
communication is the top key, I would say.
Absolutely. If you are not a communicator, it's you'll learn a lot of things by trial and error.
We're both communicators and we both suck at it sometimes.
Yeah.
We are pro communicators. We love to talk, we love to write, we love to everything, but we suck at actual communication sometimes.
Semicolons are, it should be a comma or exclamation point, or just a period. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me, Sadie.
Welcome.
Can we maybe do the next part in less than 2 months? That's on me, though. I hope everybody has enjoyed what we've been talking about and takes something to heart. I will, at some point very soon, hopefully it won't take me as long, to do the next couple chapters and kind of maybe modernize the spin. Maybe Sadie and I'll talk about things together, Either way, the end goal is to take a very old problem and put a new spin on it, so that our hope is that you, as part of a relationship or in a couple, in a relationship, you can go to the other person and say, hey, let's make this thing better. And by doing so, you'll get so much more out of your relationship than what you ever thought possible. No matter what age or state of relationship you're in, you'll just...
Could affect how you apologize to your kids, too.
That's right. They learn from you. So if you're always fighting with your spouse, or you're, you know, not making things right, whom do you think they're going to grow up and be like? You. So do things right. Figure out, do the emotional math, and just make things better. Love your spouse. Thanks for listening. This has been Stephen St. Clair.
Sadie K. Frazier.
On the Craft of Quilt Podcast.
See you on the flip side.
Peace out.